The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
This is John Sadak, TV voice of the Cincinnati Reds, and you're up for Late Night Reds Talk.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. It is time for another edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live here on the Believe Podcast Network, and we are brought to you by our good friends at Bet Online. And if you see here now, it's baseball time. It's time to make our bets, time to make our picks for our National League winning odds. And Nicholas, I'll bring you in here. Any team here you like specifically? Not the Dodgers, because you don't make any money on the Dodgers, obviously.
Yeah, definitely not going the Dodgers. I hate to say it right now, but probably the Phillies just a plus 2,000. I don't know if I like their strategy of no defense, but just those odds look pretty good to me.
Yeah, I do like the odds. I think they'll be able to hit a lot of homers, and score a lot of runs. So I think, you know, you got to score runs to win baseball games. And I think the Phillies have that game plan. Carlos, can you confirm?
I can't confirm, and I'm sticking with my Phillies bet.
All right, perfect. Well, if you guys want to get in on the action and make your picks for the National League pennants, you can go to BetOnline, use our promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, to get 50% off of your first, is your welcome deposit. Is that what it is nowadays? I totally lost track.
Yes, but 50% off.
50% off the welcome. Perfect. So you can get in and make these bets as well with us and tell us, you know, that Reds, 3,300, right?
Let's go.
Right. Well, our guest today is going to tell you why that Reds 3,300 is a good idea, right? He is here from the Cincinnati Inquirer. He's John coming back to the show, Mr. Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie, I think last time you were on, we did this on a Zoom. And as you can see, things have really changed since then.
Things have changed. I would agree with that sentence.
Yeah. So how are things in Arizona? You got the tan going now? I mean, you're liking it out there? Like, glad to be back to having a normal spring training-ish?
Yeah, I mean, the fun part for me is back to normal media access as well. Everything is pre-2020 just style. So being able to be on the ground in Goodyear, that's a great opportunity to kind of set the table for what this Red season could look like and catch up on where everyone is, what everyone's done this offseason, what the future looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys have full access. Like, are you guys back in the clubhouse now? Yeah. And everything? Okay. Yeah, because I know that we had already have a comment from Ryan Wexton that says they love Locker Room Watch. And I guess Locker Room Watch is how you guys are now finding out who's signed to the roster for spring training.
So usually, or there always is a process of a player gets in the building, player gets a physical, player has to go through some paperwork, and then officially gets signed. But a lot of those final steps happen with those players in the building, and we're in the building, and we see that there's a new number 50 in camp or a new number 22 today in camp who has a helmet with a left flap ear, so we know he's a left-handed hitter, and we're trying to put the puzzle pieces together of what it could possibly mean. It keeps us entertained, certainly, trying to guess who these players are, and, you know, today, Brandon Drury and Kyle Zimmer.
The Reds have always been one of the better teams, I guess, at keeping things under wraps. Is that kind of what you hear, Charlie? The Reds have had so many moves that just completely came out of nowhere that no one ever sees coming.
I mean, certainly, you know, it'll always stand out to me, the Winker and Suarez move, how they were at batting practice when the news broke, how the entire team was just shell-shocked. Certainly that seems to be a part of the Reds' process as well. You know, that was their biggest trade in a long time. These moves, Zimmer and Drury had been somewhat in the works, but for a minor league free agent, you want to get him in the building, see how they look first before making anything official as well. So that's kind of been how it's working.
What's the overall mood of the team after kind of the big surprise moves? And was it kind of, a big shock for a day and it's kind of back to business as normal? Do you still kind of, feel some of those effects? What do you think about that?
You have to do a really good job compartmentalizing. After the trade, I had a conversation with Joey Votto. He said the biggest lesson I learned from the mid-2000s was the importance of staying positive and staying optimistic and staying a believer in the talent you have in the building. And the Reds do have more talent on this roster than they did at the low points of that rebuild then. But also, I didn't talk to anyone who said these trades made the Reds better in 2022. It's such a hit. I keep going back to Votto. Winker, someone who he has been following closely since he was a prospect and watched blossom into an all-star. And Eugenio Suarez, someone who Votto says is one of his two favorite teammates of all time, along with Jay Bruce. It's very difficult for an inside the clubhouse perspective. It's very difficult to try to put a positive spin on what's going on, but you do have to compartmentalize, understand how much is at stake and understand that there can still be realistic expectations for a positive 2022 season, and just try to navigate all those emotions at the same time. It's one of the big challenges of being a professional athlete.
So I want to ask you about a lot of players. And I know we only have you about 20, 25 minutes, but as president of the Nick Senzel fan club, I feel like I have to start there. Obviously, so far, reports have been pretty positive out of camp. Hitting 400 so far in his few games. Got legged out a double the other day, I saw. That looked pretty good. What have you seen from Nick Senzel that either has you excited, optimistic, worried, however you want to put it, with what you've seen so far?
Well, number one has to be that he's fully healthy. There haven't been a ton of off seasons, to be honest, where he has had as much time to prepare fully healthy as he did heading into this offseason. In his favor as well is he now has consistency position-wise, which he didn't have for a number of those off seasons as well. You look at that, and I think the number one reason to believe it in Nick Senzel is look at the fact that he produced throughout the 2019 season at an impressive level for a rookie. 2020 kind of throughout, he lost half the year due to an undesignated stint on the injured list. And then in 2021, people forget the time he hurt his knee, he was batting leadoff and starting at second base. He was someone that David Bell was going out of his way to give a lot of opportunities that he viewed Nick Senzel as having earned. And now going into 2022, he's my pick, not my pick, but my projection would be my projection right now to be their starting center fielder on opening day. And frankly, to be an everyday center fielder as a right-handed hitter who offers an athletic approach, a good, useful defensive style, and a ton of potential that he's shown at the plate. If he's healthy, I think the expectation is fully that he'll get a lot of opportunity this season.
Charlie, do you kind of see, you mentioned you feel like, and it's 100% accurate. I mean, he was drafted as a third baseman. They said, all right, go play shortstop, go play second base, go play center field. Do you kind of see a little bit more of that this year? Have you seen him doing like infield practice or anything like that?
If no infield yet, and also like look at the roster. So look at the guys you have in the infield. You have Locks at starters at first, Votto, second, India, third, Moustakas, short, especially with Barrera out, Kyle Farmer. The infield depth you have a established big leaguer in Colin Moran who's been playing first and third, Max Schrock who can play a lot. At different positions, Donovan Solano who can play a lot of different positions, and we'll see where they go with backup shortstop, whether that's Solano or Lopez or something there. They don't have that depth in the outfield. There's so much more proven depth in the infield that they don't have in the outfield. And for that reason, you need your best possible nine guys on the field, typically is how David Bell has done it. And because they have that depth in the infield and definitely those locked in starters, it's been all Senzel as a center fielder said he's completely focused on that position.
Cool. All right. And kind of when I know we're going to have a lot of questions.
Well, we can hit on anybody. Yeah.
Hit on everyone. So I wanted to touch on your article you wrote on Shogo Akiyama. Obviously has been the man of mystery for the Reds, was a very high someone everyone was really excited about bringing in, and then has really struggled quite a bit, has been unhealthy at times, obviously missed the beginning of last season. Has still shown a really, good defensive center field game in his time with the Reds. But, he talked about changing his approach and doing different things. What kind of did you take away from that conversation?
It was a really honest conversation. how do I want to put this? He recognizes that 2020 and 2021 didn't live up to his expectations. And, you know, I'm not comparing him to Joey Votto, certainly very different styles of hitter. You know, we talk all the time about Joey recognizing that something he was doing in 2019 and early 2020 wasn't clicking and recognizing the need to make a significant adjustment. Again, Shogo, very different player, but fully recognized the need to make an adjustment. Did a lot of prep this offseason, gained weight. He's saying he's working on seeing the ball differently at the plate. He used to wait as long as possible to make his decision, and that kind of suited his approach as a contact first on base hitter. He says now he's trying to hit the ball further out in front of the plate. He says he hopes that can lead to more exit velocity, lead to more pop overall, and overall improve where he's at as a hitter. You know, right now I view, you know, him, Fraley, Albert Almora, TJ Friedel, Aristides Aquino is all competing for playing time in the outfield right now. The Reds certainly like Shogo as a hitter. He certainly had a lot of success overall, but it hasn't been good enough, and he'll be the first one to say that over these last two seasons, and now they're evaluating where he's at this spring.
Do you feel like we'll see his first big league home run this year?
It's funny. Mark Sheldon asked Shogo that. And, you know, Shogo's great, fantastic. He does his interviews through interpreter Luke Shinoda. And Shogo hears Mark's question and goes, yes, I didn't need the interpreter. So this is very close on Shogo's mind, too.
Man, what a wild card that would be to have Shogo just, you know, come out and play majority of the time out maybe left field. That would be great.
Hey, you know, they view him, it's funny, David said this last year, and you don't think about stuff like this, but they think Shogo's very good in center field. That's clear. They think Shogo's better in left than he is in center, but because defense hasn't been the strong suit of the Reds outfield, they've needed him in center more than the corners. But if you can put Senzel in left or Senzel in center and Shogo in right and Naquin or Jake Fraley, who I'm learning a lot about, he's a really good defender. Jake Fraley in right specifically, that could be a very good defensive outfield. So overall, that's something they see positively.
We got a Moose homer today. I saw that. Talk about lefty, guys bouncing lefty back. Prime. Yeah.
So a couple days ago, I said, David Bell, I know it's very, very early in camp, but just in terms of initial observation, what's caught your eye? And the first thing he said was Mike Moustakas and the way he's moving at third base. He says, I was the one hitting fungo ground balls to him, and I knew I was putting him, you know, not putting him through the ringer, but testing him and seeing where he was at right now and evaluating where he was. And David said he was very, very encouraged by where Mike Moustakas was. You know, he had a hard hit ball in his first spring training game. He homered today. Overall, you know, he's someone they just really need right now with how much power they've lost overall in their lineup. You know, if you could get a big power hitting season from him, that could do as much positively for their lineup as anything. And the good sign so far is that the initial reviews have been very strong.
Nice. It's all Jonathan India the other day gained, what, about 15 pounds as well?
And Jonathan India, the one certainty in the Reds lineup, the one thing David Bell has confirmed and guaranteed is that India is going to be the lead operator. There's so much to like there. Also, like, look out for him to steal some more stolen bases, for him to steal some more bases this season as well. Like, the style of athlete and the style of hitter he is, there's just so much room for growth there. He's going to bat leadoff this year, but a bold prediction I have just for the future is that by 2024, 2023, he'll be the Reds' number two hitter. Like, they're going to want him in these highest leverage situations because he's that good. There's a lot to like. And, you know, I think there's a very good chance that he could be the Reds' best player this season. Joey Votto said he might have been the Reds' best player last season. And he would probably be my pick right now for their most likely all-star.
Ooh. Speaking my language as someone who owns Jonathan India in Dynasty Leagues, Charlie.
Happy to help.
So how's it been for you guys since the lockout ended? Has it been as crazy as everybody thought it was going to be, Charlie?
Yeah, it's funny. So I was out here for minor league camp the whole time, you know, writing stories on the minor leaguers. Much different style, no games, different schedule, much more, not relaxed, but much more low-key. Then all of a sudden the lockout ends. Then they trade Sonny, then they trade Jesse and Suarez, then they trade Amir Garrett, get Mike Minor, Dunn, Fraley, Minor, Williamson all get in the building. Locker watch starts, Almora, Zimmer, Drury. The joke is who's going to be the newest, one Reds player said today, like, oh yeah, it is like who's the newest locker today. Of course, that's just the churn you go through in a normal big league offseason that's being condensed now, but certainly there hasn't really been a stretch like this at this part of the year before.
No, nobody's pranked y'all yet? Like, put a fake name up there with a new number or something like that?
No, it's funny. Someone specifically made that joke today, and so far that hasn't happened. But we're actually specifically joking about that tonight.
You like walk in, someone puts like table, but it just says like Trout, and you're like, exactly. No, don't think so.
Like, that was one of the best parts of spring training was, you know, before you go out and break out and start stretching, you talk together as a team. I don't know if that's the way the Reds do it now, but, you know, the manager comes and he speaks, tells about the day, and then, you know, he picks on someone, usually a new guy, makes him get up, tell a story or something like that. Have you heard anything like that yet?
I haven't heard anything like that specifically, and now I'm curious. Now I'm interested.
Yeah, because that's where all the, like, the I know Buddy Black, he would – I think I had to play somebody in FIFA one day. Like, you know, he asked, I was like the new guy, and what do you like to do, blah, blah, blah. I mentioned I played, you know, video games, and he had me play one of the other new guys, like in front of everybody. It was like one half, and it was large amounts of money being tossed around.
No, I need to look into stories like this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was that Chad Johnson, Carlos? Was that who it was? Was it Andrew Cinco?
Mm-mm.
He's pretty big on the FIFAs.
No. We also did a free throw competition. Tony Clark, MLBPA, yeah. I was on his team. He picked me. We played his high school, like state high school team from Arizona at the time. He brought them in on a limo, and that was a whole other story. That was pretty fun.
I did get a pretty close look at Joey Votto's basketball game, and like some, he's a two guard with burst, very confident in the mid range jumper, finishes really well with the I was genuinely very impressed with just the fluidity overall of his game, the consistency of his jump shot, clearly something he's worked at, like a legit basketball player. Seriously.
There we go. Two sport athlete, Joey Votto.
That's fantastic. Hey, Charlie, so you had the big exclusive interview with Nick Kroll. I got a little bit of the article up here. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And then I guess my biggest question for you is, part of that, Kroll said that some of the moves gave the Reds more financial flexibility to spend. Do you envision that money was already, that money was spent on like Mike Minor and some of these other, you know, Solano and Moran smaller deals? Or do you think they actually still have a chance at maybe getting someone like a Tommy Pham or something like that?
It's a great question. Certainly, like, this is kind of a non-answer, but certainly it's dependent on the market. You know, my colleague Bobby Nightingale reported that the Reds might have checked in on Nick Castellanos and seen where that market stood. And certainly that was money that you weren't necessarily envisioning the Reds spending. It was money that they really probably weren't planning to spend at all before that Jesse Winker and Eugenio Suarez trade. And, you know, there's opportunities to add to the bullpen still. There's opportunities they would benefit from that right-handed bat in the outfield. They need a backup shortstop now. There's a lot they can do. The big question, I think, of any MLB team, especially for a team that identifies itself as small market like the Reds, is how much of a gap still is left and how much of that are you willing to put out there for the right guy? And certainly it's about fit and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, there is no timeline because this is such uncharted territory. And frankly, it could go a lot of different ways.
Very good. We did get a few questions, if you don't mind, you know, answering a couple of these from our loyal viewers. Keith asked, do we foresee Fraley as an everyday left or right fielder or being a platoon?
So this is where you get into the math. Like, it gets very... The platoon thing's interesting. So I'm looking up at my depth chart. My prediction, my prognostication right now, if I were making a lineup, Fraley is the everyday left fielder. I think they love him defensively. Like, he's going to be this big highlight defensive guy. And I think that's something to watch now going forward. And I think that, you know, when the Reds traded for him, multiple people specifically said his potential, what they saw in the underlying metrics against right-handed pitchers, gives them the faith to make him a role player on their team. So against righties, my lineup, you know what I mean? Just me giving a guess of what it could look like would be Fraley, Senzel, Naquin with Moran as the DH. Now where it gets really strange is against lefties. Senzel, all right. Aquino, who even though he's not someone who they started at the end of the season against lefties last year, Delino DeShields and Jose Barrera took those spots. He's a right-handed outfielder they have. Albert Almora would have to show more as a hitter for one of those spots. And you probably can only carry five outfielders. So right now, if I had to guess, I'd probably have Solano at DH, then Aquino in right, Senzel in center, or excuse me, Aquino in, we'll get to Aquino, Senzel in center, probably Aquino in left, and then Tyler Naquin, your best overall hitter. Who's your best lefty against lefties? Maybe you go with your best overall hitter in Naquin over Shogo and over Fraley, because you know Shogo and Fraley, just like Naquin, haven't done well against lefties specifically. You need everyday players, and while Tyler Naquin didn't get any shots against lefties last season, again, with the options they have right now, unless Solano makes a big move to the outfield or unless the Reds add someone new, it'll probably have to be, again, Shogo, Fraley, Naquin, and I personally will go with Naquin, their best overall player.
Piggybacking on that, do you have you heard any rumblings about the DH kind of changing the strategy for using more platoons, less platoons, carrying more pitchers?
So it's funny. David made a really interesting point. He said that he views the DH the exact same way he views the closer role. What do we know about David and closers? We know that, and he said this a million times, if he sees the Reds as having a true closer, if the Reds went out and got Kenley Jansen, and the best way to optimize that pitcher is the ninth inning traditional role, he's all for that. And he's been a part of teams that have done that a ton. They did that a lot with Raisel Iglesias, especially in 2020. And he said he would do that going forward. But what do we know? They haven't had a traditional closer type in the last two seasons, and it's been matchup-based, leverage-based, et cetera. I think you've used the DH the exact same way, and that's what makes the Colin Moran move so interesting to me. You know, he's played a little third. I don't see him as a proven standout third baseman defensively. Plays first base. Joey plays first base. What the Reds love is how he mashes against righties and the power element he brings to their lineup. So I do see, you could see Moran as that platoon DH, specifically meshing with someone like Solano, who's also going to get a ton of starts at second, third, maybe even short. And maybe they move him to the outfield some later on. Overall, I see those being platoon-oriented players, you know, that being part of the reason the Reds brought him in. And then Fraley as well. They love specifically what he can do against righties. So overall, they have that platoon element.
Kind of goes right into Keith's question here. Do you think they go by closer by committee with Sims missing the rest of the season? And I guess adding to that, did you think Sims was going to kind of be that David Bell type closer? It kind of felt like he was trending that way towards the end of the year.
I think, you know, my expectation heading into camp before I knew the Lucas Sims injury update was that it would be managed similarly to last season. David's done that as well. Said that as well multiple times this year. He doesn't view this team as having a designated closer entering the start of the season. So, you know, I call it the rule of two, stealing from Star Wars. David Bell has two guys that he alternates that'll basically match up based. One pitches in the highest leverage situation. One pitches the ninth. Those two guys switched a lot last year because of injuries. It was Anton and Sims for a while. It was Garrett and Hembree for a while. It was Givens and Lorenzen at the end of the year. So I still think this bullpen will have like the rule of two approach. The main three candidates for that right now are Cessa, Santin, and Warren. I think those will be the most consistent high leverage guys we'll see the Reds use. Overall, whether one of them gets the most saves, I guess that's to be determined. But the Reds overall, I think, will lean on those three guys the most to start the season.
That's got to be fun watching those that bullpen fight for their spot, because there's not a whole lot of time to make your case that you should be on this team.
That's what's so fascinating, too. You go down the list, go past Justin Wilson, who's been a big leaguer. You have Kyle Zimmer, non-roster guy who got here today. Dowry Moretta trying to show that he can stick at the major league level. Yeah, I would put Jeff Hoffman in that Justin Wilson group as well as a veteran guy. And then behind that, you have Daniel Duarte, a prospect they really like and added to the 40-man roster. Alexis Diaz, same thing. And then more non-roster guys, Trey Wingettner, Connor Overton, Zach Godley, who got here earlier in camp. Like a bunch of guys who the Reds really haven't seen much, who now only have like 2 weeks to show everything. And specifically because the Reds are going to need a lot from their bullpen, because starters aren't going to be ready to throw a ton of innings at the start of the season. The Reds have very limited time to make very big decisions with their bullpen in particular.
Two more questions here real quick, Charlie, that have been in here for a little bit. One from our good friend Jeff Cart. Jim Day called Nick Senzel a C-ball, hit-ball type hitter. What does that mean?
You know, I love talking baseball. I've never really heard C ball, hit ball. You know, I've been talking to Nick specifically, maybe it has something to do with analytics and the way Senzel used analytics. To be honest, I'm not sure. He's certainly known for his, like they like to say, sees the ball a long time at the plate, a polished, not power-oriented style that the Reds like when they, you know, they like the power too, but they do like having that variety, and Senzel certainly brings that variety. And, I mean, he's a hitter. He's been a hitter whenever he's been healthy for his entire career.
So I can answer that question. C-ball, hit-ball type of hitter is somebody who doesn't like to deal with the analytics, the video, the, you know, the iPad before ABs. It's just go out there and play baseball like you used to when you were in Little League or in high school. That's what that means.
Very cool.
All right, we got a question here. Mike Minor had a couple of rough years. I feel like rough might be a little harsh, like closer to average. We'll be nice to Mike. Do you think he can be successful at GABP?
So the Reds are betting a lot on this. By a lot, I mean, you know, they only, you know, basically they invested $7.5 million to get Mike in, but he's making a $10 million salary. He's their biggest external addition since they got Nick Castellanos. And it's someone who really had a career worst season in 2021. What they saw was a pitcher who, you know, three true outcome stuff, spin rate stuff, strikeout ability. They did see that as an improvement in that role over other options they had on the board. They saw a guy with a really long, really strong relationship with Derek Johnson. And they saw the combination of those two things leading to potential success. Mike Minor has a very, very, very good idea of the adjustments he wants to make. He said he's been leaving his fastball and his changeup on the same side of the plate too consistently, and he needs to do a better job game planning before the game, understanding how hitters are hitting him and where hitters are hitting him, and planning better and planning more to diversify what he's throwing and where he's throwing it on the mound. The Reds have a very good system in place to help someone make that exact same type or that exact style of change. It's certainly a risk investing a lot in a 34-year-old pitcher, but again, because of the relationship with DJ and the plan in place, they are believers and they made a big investment to take that chance.
All right, one more real quick one, just because it's really good and we can't answer it for sure. From our guy, Carrick, any news from minor league camp? Haven't heard anything since the lockout ended. Anyone stick out?
So Matt McClain is very, very good, and he's going to rise quickly up this system. You know, it's funny, he's not even in minor league camp anymore. He had been promoted to major league camp since the end of minor league camp because of how well he played. Like, two Matt McClain stories. One, well, three. As a hitter, he's looking polished. He's looking, like, even more comfortable in the big league games. He's having a lot of success at the plate early. He stole a base. And the hit tool is why the Reds drafted him. That is his strength. But two things defensively I saw in his first spring game, there was like a blooper over his head, you know, that landed in right field. McClain attempted the, you know, the grabbing acrobatic catch. He didn't catch it. What he did was, sorry, my computer's tilting because I'm not holding it. He slapped his glove like that to make the sound like he caught the ball, and it froze the runner at second base. So that runner couldn't score because he thought McClain caught the ball, and that got the left fielder the ability to get the ball into the infield and stop that run from scoring. Then yesterday, McClain turned a double play, the bang-bang play. Like, the throw was like 95 miles an hour coming out of his arm to turn the lightning-fast double play over at first. Like, stuff like that, that takes years to develop, and McClain has it now. And he, again, he's right. Yes, he is a ball player, Bryce. He's rising very quickly up the system.
I'm glad you mentioned McClain, because I wanted to ask you and forgot. Do you see any possibility that with the Barrero injury that he could somehow sneak his way onto this roster?
By the end of the year, you know, I'm not ruling it out. And, you know, I've asked that same question around camp all, especially over the last couple days, and no one has ruled it out. McClain has what do they say? Like, the sixth tool. He has that intangible because he's been playing for so long, because he played at a great of a baseball program as UCLA, because he comes from a baseball family where his two younger brothers are standout baseball players. He just has it. He just looks so comfortable and so in control that he's the kind of guy who, again, you can't rule it out. There's certainly a set of maybe 10 things that would need to happen to get there in the first place. But if those 10 things happen, I'm not ruling it out personally.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff to hear. And obviously, I know you had some clips of Ellie De La Cruz earlier in spring training.
Of course.
And
those were fun. We'll be talking about him for years.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, man, I mean, this might be the only time you've done an interview this spring training where you didn't have to mention Nick Lodolo or Hunter Green. But we do, you know, we are definitely appreciate having you on. I know we'll probably check in with you throughout the season. So if you want to take a second, I know a lot of people know where you're already, but shout out your social media so people can follow you and get your Reds and now Bengals updates. God, have you slept this week?
I'm doing fine. everything at the Cincinnati Inquirer and Cincinnati.com.
Perfect. Thanks, Charlie. We appreciate the time, man.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Charlie.
Hey friends, Nick Kirby here. I wanted to tell you about some top quality multivitamins, Athletic Greens. With one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, superfoods, and probiotic to start your day right. Their special blend of ingredients support gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, energy recovery, focus, and aging. It's also lifestyle friendly and fits a wide range of diets. There's only 1 gram of sugar and no chemicals or artificial anything. Reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/believe. That's BLEAV. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/believe, BLEAV. These statements have not yet been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Athletic Greens, take ownership of your health. What a guy, man. Just so much knowledge.
So fast.
I know. Calm down a little bit. Drink a little beer here.
The hardest worker in Cincinnati sports. I love that guy. Man, he kills it.
Yeah. All right, man. Well,
chance Matt McClain's coming up, by the way.
I know he's not, but man, I want it so bad. Every time I watch him, I'm just like, ooh, this guy, he's got a high ceiling. You know, I just, man.
He went to Florida?
UCLA.
Oh, okay. UCLA.
Jonathan India is from Florida.
I didn't know if they were teammates. That was going to be my next question.
I think, was Jonathan India teammates with Kyle Lewis in Florida? No, we already went through this. Forget it. I already talked about this with Nick last week. I forgot that Kyle Lewis did not play at Florida. I always had it in my mind that he did. Maybe he was offered there. I don't know.
Well, Carlos, I don't really think there's been a whole lot of news since the last time you were on. Do you have any?
What, I missed 1 week?
Did anything happen? Do you have any thoughts on any potential Reds news or anything like that?
I ain't got nothing, man. Let's go back in the Big Red Platoon, baby. Here we go. You could take me off the big screen. I don't have shit to say.
I thought we were gonna get some wisdom or something, man. I was ready for it.
Yeah, I mean, you played for the Marlins. You know all about tearing the team down.
Yeah, for a whole half a second, I say, get me out of there.
That's a good question for Jeff.
That is a good question.
Who has the better career, Jose Barrero or Matt McClain?
Sounds like a coin flip at this point.
I feel like I might get shot if I say the wrong answer.
I was going to say.
On Red's Twitter. I don't.
Jeff, what are you doing to us?
Yeah, Jeff wants me to get pummeled here.
Yeah.
I'm always going to go with the guy with position flexibility. So, you know my answer.
Barrero? He can play infield and outfield.
Yeah, but Matt McClain's proven that he can play.
Oh, yeah. Where? At UCLA?
I think he's been playing all over for the Reds, right?
I have no idea. I've never seen him. Yeah. I couldn't tell you what he looks like.
Great content.
That's what I bring, boys.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have a question. Who has the better year, Wade Miley or what's the lefty we got? What's his
name? Mike Minor. Bank it. I'm on it.
Have you got the board yet that I tell you to get so we can write these year-long tracking?
It's all on YouTube, man. You just gotta search.
Yeah, we only got 2 weeks till the season starts. We'll do like maybe in 2 weeks we'll do like our prop bets, like episode, like Joey Votto over under 26 home runs, definitely over. But Charlie got me pretty pumped up for Nick Senzel. Not gonna lie to you guys.
Yeah,
I'm believing still.
Seeing him leg out that triple was
awesome,
breathtaking.
God, it was so refreshing.
I was like, oh my God.
I almost thought for a second that he kind of pulled up a little lame when he rounded second.
Stop it. Stop it. That's the phrase.
The replay, and I said,
"Oh no!" Oh,
okay,
man.
Then he bent over and had his hands on his knees. Like, here we go again.
Don't do that,
Carlos. You sound a lot like that crazy Carl guy on the YouTube last week.
That guy's awesome.
Yeah. So I saw Nick Castellanos arrived in Philly today, and did you see that whole thing with the newscaster there that was like, they said that they would go over the luxury tax for you, and he's like, well, that's what it was about, being with an owner that wanted to win, or instead of an owner that doesn't want to win, or something to that matter. So that was cool.
Yeah, who Wade Miley took a shot at Castellini today too.
Man,
who's next? Where's Tucker? Quit hiding, Tucker. We want to hear your thoughts. Zach Cozart already made him clear.
I didn't see that.
As Cozart was all over Instagram. I kind of feel like Cozart kind of carries more weight, though, since he was a guy who didn't get a contract.
Yeah.
I mean,
They all know what's going on inside that locker room, and it doesn't take a whole long period of time to know what's going on with the front office.
I saw David Hernandez tweeted that they should trade Joey Votto.
Is he still playing? Whenever he tweeted, I was like, I know he's not with the Reds, but I don't know if he was with another team or not.
I think they traded him somewhere, and then I think that was it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
I saw Ashcraft pitch today for the first time.
Yeah?
Yeah. I got into a little Twitter conversation with a couple of folks about it. I mean, I missed the first inning over there getting ready for our little league game that was supposed to happen today. And then, you know, lights out. This is always amazing, blah, blah, blah. I go on there, and that first and second inning, the dude doesn't hit a spot. It was brutal. I understand it's probably his first outing in spring or whatever it is. But from what I saw, it was not good. His stuff looks good, but I just said what I saw, and people now think that I hate him, which that's Twitter. But whatever, I just said it was a bad second and third inning. I hope he gets better.
Yeah.
There is a big difference. Like that third inning, you know, he got, I think it was three up, three down, but they were very loud outs. Contreras hit one to deep center on the warning track. That probably would have been gone in Cincinnati. Next guy, I believe, hits it to left field warning track. And then the third guy hits to the right field warning track. Like,
but it
looked pretty good.
You know who also looked really good in spring training was Nick Lodolo in his two innings. Holy.
Yeah, I saw highlights. I didn't get to see him, but I was like, yeah, man, that looks nice.
Does look nice.
He was just pumping in strikes too. And it's spring, whatever. But
right.
He looks good. I hope, man, I can't wait for him and Green. Green looked good today too. Green looked really sharp. These guys, if they're throwing strikes, I mean, they're going to have, I think, a pretty decent amount of success at this level. I think it just comes down to throwing strikes.
How long do they have to be in the minors so they can manipulate their service time?
Was it like the middle of May?
Nah, it's like about 3 weeks. So normally it's
because Senzel came up. I went to Senzel's first game.
Normally it's about like April 20th, but with it delayed, it's probably right around May 1st or something like that.
Yeah, so that's probably the earliest that we would see them.
They don't typically do that as much with pitchers. I've noticed it seems more position players. I mean, the Reds did have Jonathan Nidia up on opening day last year.
They were trying last year.
How about a David Hernandez update? David Hernandez has not pitched since he pitched for the Reds. Tried to get on with some teams, and then COVID happened, and there was no minor league season. And that, I think, pretty much so COVID killed David Hernandez's career. Sorry about that, man.
Hate to see it.
That's tough.
I didn't see Green's outing today. Was it like, was the hit just like something where like the guy just made a hell of a contact kind of thing? Or no. Was it like,
no, the hit was Colin Moran dropped a pop-up, and it wasn't caught in air. Like, it literally was a pop-up to the first baseman. Mm. And he lost it in the sun, and then he struck out Wilson Contreras. So, I mean, it was a legit outing. I mean, he looked really cool. Sharp.
That AB against Contreras was a good AB because Contreras was dialed in.
Yeah. Took a
dialing, like, That 3-2 pitch was probably a ball, but I don't know what that pitch is, though. I want to know what his repertoire is, because it's between a cutter and a slider. Somebody on TikTok says a slutter. I like that.
Slutter. Boom, the slutter.
But yeah, I mean, the fastball looked like it had more tail on it than what I remember from last year. It wasn't as straight, so that's good. His delivery was way smoother. He took that pause out of there. I mean, last time I saw him pitch, I didn't think he looked like a big leaguer, but when I saw him today, he looked like a big leaguer.
That's exciting. I know, like, it's been kind of, you know, obviously that's the name, but like, the backup catcher has been kind of fun so far in spring. Aramis Garcia had that big game the other day against Oakland, and then was it Chris Oakey hit a homer Saturday?
Yeah.
I should really print out a roster. I don't know who you're talking about.
I literally feel like right now with like all the names in like the minor leagues that are like up in big
league
camp,
so proud of me.
I feel like that scene in Major League where they're like at the beginning of the movie when they're like going through the newspaper and they're like, who the are these guys? Like, I went ahead and did it so you don't have to this time, Nick. But like in these, like they're like media, like the grounds crew's like hitting them out, like they're shitty.
Am I the only one who's like watched an inning so far here?
You only saw one inning?
I've seen a few.
Oh,
Nick, some of us have to work NIT games at 9 o'clock on Tuesdays. Okay.
I saw like five yesterday, like three today.
I put on the beginning of today's game to watch Ashcraft while we were getting ready for the show to start.
Yeah. What did you think, Nick?
I
want to hear your pitcher breakdown.
I have no pitcher breakdown.
Come on.
I thought his command was a little rough. I thought, you know, he kept falling behind in the count. That's my breakdown. He didn't look as good as Green and Lodolo.
What is Walker Buehler going to do tomorrow against the Reds?
Hopefully get hammered like he did last year.
Yeah. Agreed.
Reds owned him.
Okay, Corbin Burnes and Tyler Mahle on Wednesday, you know?
When do we start worrying about Castillo?
Well, he was the last addition to camp. Like, he was the last guy to show up, so. I don't know.
How long ago was that?
Couldn't Castillo have, not been as ready as some of the other guys and... I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
I know David Bell had some comments about, you know, there's going to be a lot of like 4 or 5 inning starts and they're kind of like planning on that. So it's going to be very interesting. The first month of the season, kind of how they manipulate getting through these games, and not just the Reds. I think a lot of other teams are going to be in the exact same boat, you know, how you're going to manipulate all these innings. That'll be kind of interesting. I wonder if, like, Hunter Green came in the fifth inning today. Like, do we think Hunter Green may start in the bullpen?
Carlos,
I say there's a less than 10% chance. Why would they do that?
I don't know. I was just asking. I mean, I thought it was interesting that he came in the fifth inning. Like, it wasn't the other way around with Ashcraft, you know, like Green being
they want to kind of be fair somewhat, you know.
So, okay.
You know, they're both kind of prospects. So, I mean, they both are prospects. So, you know, you got to break it up a little bit. You'll have regular rotation guys coming in the middle of innings and stuff like that as well. We should ask Charlie if any of those guys have been throwing on the side, like on the minor league games. You know, a lot of the times they'll throw, like, you know, they'll start like Castillo. He could have thrown like 2 innings today and we don't know about it yet. You know, that kind of deal. I wonder if anybody's been throwing like that. Especially with Castillo, because, you know, he struggled. Was it just last year at the beginning where he struggled, or was there almost like a pattern where he struggles early?
I mean, last year was like his struggles, but like he's had some slow starts.
I guess.
Yeah, no, it's like May. He like rounds into shape, and it just took a little longer last year.
Yeah, maybe he would rather do that so he can work on specific things. You know, that definitely happens a lot, and maybe they're saving those games and those innings for, you know, the other pitchers that they need to actually see and doesn't have a spot already. because, you know, there's not as many innings as there were.
Yeah, agreed. I'm trying to figure out, because who was it? I'm trying to find. I had the tweet saved. So Hector Gomez tweeted the Reds are in talks with Johnny Cueto. And I don't think anything more has come of that. He hasn't signed with anybody, right?
I think they were talking about the Twins today.
I wonder if this was before or after the minor deal. That's kind of, it was kind of reported right around the same time, and I haven't really heard any more noise since. So I kind of wonder if that was maybe their, you know, they wanted to bring in one more veteran starter, and Mike Minor was the,
the guy. I can see that. Yeah. Well, I mean, do you want to touch on the Colin Moran news? I know that happened since we last did a show, and
yeah, I mean, I thought Moran was a nice signing. I mean, it looks like the Reds are, you know, going heavy on platoon matchups. Moran's a good hitter against right-handed pitching for sure. So nice to have him in the mix. So yeah, I mean, I like it. I like a lot of these little moves that they've done. I mean, I don't know how much it'll add up to, but I do think the Reds, you know, do have a better lineup than I think a lot of people are thinking right now. I don't think it's, you know, one of these bottom feeder lineups or anything like that. I mean, I think they have a lot of quality players. And the guy that I really like is Jake Fraley. The more I research him, the more I'm looking into some of his numbers. I mean, this guy had a 130 weighted runs created plus against right-handed pitching last year. That's 30% better than league average. And looking at like his batting average of balls in play, it was below his like career norm. So it wasn't some fluky number or anything like that. He's a really good defender, as Charlie said. So I think he could really be a potential really breakout player for the Reds this year. I'm definitely looking forward to watching him more.
I love him on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely had the right, you know, attitude, you know, towards the whole thing.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. So this is what you kind of put together as far as potential lives. I know Charlie kind of touched on this a little bit. I feel like these kind of make the most sense. I really like the lineup against right-handed pitching, honestly. Especially Vinny Votto hit well, like we expect him to. I think that could be a pretty solid lineup. And then you talk about Donovan Solano on the other end, who I'm pretty high on as far as like that signing for how cheap his contract was and where he's at in his career. Like, yeah, I don't think those, like you said, like, I think they're better than people are giving them credit for.
Yeah. I mean, Max Schrock's not even on the right-handed pitching batting order. I mean, he's I think a really solid option against right-handed pitching. So I think if I was betting right now, I would bet at the end of the year, the Reds team OPS against right-handed pitching is above average. I mean, I think it's still probably pretty well below average against left-handed pitching. I was kind of thinking earlier today, and really kind of looking at this team, if you're talking, you know, maybe like two of the most important players on the Reds, I'm probably going to get like shot for this, but it's probably Senzel and Aquino, just because they don't really have any other options against left-handed pitching. Like if Jake Fraley doesn't perform, you have like TJ Friedel, you have Max Schrock that you can put out there. You know, if Colin Moran doesn't perform, you know, there's Schrock could take his spot wherever that is in the lineup. Reds don't really, even if you look down on the minor league depth, they don't really have any other left-handed masters. So I mean, those two guys, I mean, they're really key. And I don't know, maybe Alejo Lopez can maybe kind of get in the mix too against lefty pitching. I'm not super high on him, but you know, against left-handed pitching, yeah, maybe he could be close to a league average hitter.
Yeah, I saw, you know, the Tommy Pham conversation, I know, still come up a lot, and I don't know if at this point it's a pipe dream or not. I certainly hope it's not, because, yeah, that would be the perfect bat the Reds need for against left-handed pitching. It'd be really awesome for them.
Seems like it'd be a perfect fit for both sides. You know, Fam could use kind of a one-year prove-it deal. I mean, I know he is like 34, so I don't know how much more, you know, money he can get. But, you know, Nick Castellanos came to GABP and just got $100 million after it. You know, it's definitely a good place to play and increase your value. So, I don't know. It seems like it would make a lot of sense. The Reds clearly could pump him right in there. And it would also make the Reds defense, I think, a lot better because they're not throwing someone like Solano out in left field, or they're throwing a, you know, Friedel or Naquin out that's just not going to hit lefties at all. I'd love to see it. I really hope that that's something. I think that could really get fam. I think the Reds are pretty competitive. You get competitive with six teams in the playoffs. You never know what can happen.
Carlos, you obviously had your fair share of time watching Tommy Pham. Like, how do you feel he would fit on this team?
As long as he doesn't get stabbed a bunch of times, say like a bunch of rhymes, quote the great Jay-Z. I mean, whatever. He'd be an upgrade on what they have against left-handed pitching, sure, but I don't think he'd be that much of a difference maker.
Yeah, I feel you.
Want to get to some of these other questions here? We got.
I do. Yeah. There's a lot.
Carlos, I'll let you start. Over under Mike Minor 4.75 ERA.
Oof. What's it been around the last 2 years? I guess don't count 2020, but
last year it was 5.05. 2020 5.56. 2019 3.59. His projection is 4.53.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and I'll go under. Yeah. So I'll say right around 4.5, 4.6. Just getting back with DJ is a big deal. Guys don't really think that really is. A lot of people, I guess the public doesn't, but that's a pretty big deal. I mean, I know lots of pitchers that, you know, still call their college coach, you know, who hasn't, you know, who gets to see them only in the off season and, you know, that kind of stuff that they go back and work with. And, you know, they'll call them in the middle of the season and say, hey, did you watch my last outing? What's going on? You know, they know him, have a little bit better of a relationship, knows what works with him already. So he doesn't have to have that learning curve on, you know, what you can tell the certain pitcher or how he takes the feedback or anything like that. He already knows. So it's just like they're going to pick off right where they left off, which is a good thing. Hopefully it'll kind of maybe resurrect his career a little bit like it did Sonny's.
I'm in for it.
I'm going to read this one.
Fourth starter. So Pabst Blue Monday, which hopefully you're enjoying yourself a nice cold PBR while you're hanging out with us again this week like you were last, asked, I'm in ATL and will be at the game on April 10th. Predictions on the Reds starting pitcher for that game?
That'll be the fourth start?
Yeah, so I was going to say, would it be Mike Minor or would it be the three?
If everybody's healthy, I would say Minor would be three, right?
Yeah, and I was like, Brandon Williamson, I don't know if they've kind of, would he be the four in that case then?
See, I don't know enough about him. I wouldn't be surprised if it was something like Santillan in there and kind of like a piggyback type of game, especially
during. Okay. Probably so. Vlad Gutierrez probably makes a ton of sense for that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a day off after that, so, you know, it could be one of the guys that maybe they're less confident that could pitch a bunch of innings. I don't know. I'm gonna say Lodolo. That's my guess. I'm gonna say Lodolo makes camp. You know, he was there early. You know, he definitely looked like he was polished in that first start. So I think he's gonna make the team out of camp. I think he'll make the fourth. That would be my guess.
11 of the first 13 games of the season are on the road. That is brutal.
That would be a big morale booster for Reds Nation if either Green or Lodolo started the year. Be like, okay, at least we got a little bit of a pulse left.
Yeah, I look at this schedule to start the season. I mean, obviously, I mean, it's a schedule that could get you off the rails rough. You know, you could be out of it
very fast
in 10 days. But on the flip side, sometimes it's better to face these teams earlier in the year. Like we saw the Dodgers when the Reds played them in LA. They were not the Dodgers we saw when they came back later in the year, right? I mean, they had a lot of injuries. I know Carlos's Padres are going to be without Tatis, so you're catching a break there. There could be, you know, and these other teams, they're facing the exact same thing the Reds are facing, where They're trying to piece together their pitching rotations, their bullpens, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there could be, you know, some positives to facing these teams, you know, now as opposed to September. I think you play close to 500 in the month of April. I think you go into May feeling pretty good, right? Wouldn't you, Carlos?
Yeah.
Well, for sure. With that, cool. With that April schedule, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
I think that would be a win.
Yeah.
Be 500.
I'd probably take like two games under 500 right
that
now.
That means we're in a playoff spot if we're at 500, baby.
Nick, what are the Guardians reports right now? Are like, is their rotation healthy? Like, are they counting on a healthy rotation coming out of the spring?
I don't know. I haven't kept it up.
I figure since you lived up there.
Only thing I hear is the same things I hear here is the owners are terrible. That's pretty much the only noise you hear in Ohio about baseball is
yeah.
No one can really talk about anything other than that.
Yeah, even the Columbus Clippers, people are like, this team sucks. And it's like, wait a minute, what? They're supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we had a lot of good questions.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes along with what we were just saying. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd say two games under 500, I'd probably feel pretty good.
I'd be stoked.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, hey, we're rolling.
Yeah, not another 3-18. That would be.
Oof. Yeah, because, I mean, that means they're going to have to win a couple of series.
Yeah.
And taking two of three from either the Dodgers or the Padres or them again, put that schedule back up, please. Yeah, I mean, shit.
Well, you got a lot.
Against the World Series champions, you got to
win. I was going to say, they split with the Braves the first series. I'm happy.
Well, they're just trying to score on the Braves since 2019 or however long it's been.
Well, the first four series you could split because it's 4-2-4. So, yeah, man, you split
those
all
games first. Against Cleveland are huge.
Yeah, they are. They're the only two.
They need those W's.
And yeah,
well, one of them's probably going to be Bieber. That second one. So that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Now what's going to happen is. The Reds are going to get swept by the Guardians in those two games, and then they're going to go like 8-2 in the other games. That's how baseball always works out.
And then they'll go to Cleveland and they'll beat the Guardians twice in May.
Reds will be rolling into Colorado, feeling like they're on top of the world, and then Chris Bryant will like Reds will get swept in Colorado, and yeah, who knows? I'm done predicting the schedule, and I'm also banned from
yeah.
It, so.
Same.
You're at least on a year-long suspension.
Yeah.
Probation. We'll just call it probation period.
It's earned. It's earned.
Yeah.
But it makes for good content.
Thank God for Carrick, because that's probably as accurate as we can get right now.
Who's done?
He's the one of the guys they got for Winker. And
oh, the Mariners guy?
Yeah, he's the former top 100 prospect, kind of struggled, but he only has like 100 innings under his belt. But he's hurt right now. He hasn't pitched for the Reds, so I have a hard time believing he's going to break camp. Hmm. I think Lodolo is going to be on the opening day roster, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's who knows what they'll do with the rotation. I'm interested to see which one. I think some of these starters are going to end up in the bullpen. Now, I'm not saying like Carlos. I think I'll take your word that you don't think Green or Lodolo will end up in the bullpen, but mm-hmm. I mean, I have to think like if Vlad doesn't make the rotation, he goes to the bullpen. I just don't see them sending him down to Louisville or, I don't know who else, some of these other guys. I think they're going to probably, especially when they need innings early in the year, they're going to be, they're going to get, I don't know. I wonder if they're almost going to be doing some sort of piggybacks at times.
Well, yeah. The first thing to find out if they're going to expand the rosters. Number one, because most importantly, that you need to add the pitchers then. And then, excuse me. It's like you're going to have several like long relief / starters, like whoever you want to start. You can start Gutierrez, you can start Santillan, whichever. But the other guy's going to have to come in and throw, you know, at least three innings as well. So I think you'll have, you know, a bunch of these, you know, long relief types that not necessarily would have had a chance to make the team out of camp, but now they do because they need longer relief. And it's not like we've got great bullpen depth anyway. We don't have like a 7, 8, 9 guy. So it would almost be better to have guys who can throw more innings because none of those guys are standing up head and shoulders above anybody else.
Am I wrong in thinking Luis Cessa could be the 7-8-9 guy?
I don't think he can throw three innings at a time.
Maybe that.
Especially not this early in the year with the...
Definitely not this early in the year, yeah.
With wait, you actually mean to throw set the 7th, 8th, and 9th?
Not all at once, but okay. Like the guy you can kind of put in any of those high leverage situations.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to have to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's also a good point. Yeah, especially with Lucas Sims being out to start the year. I forgot Ben Lively is back in the organization. Totally forgot about that.
So Warren Wilson, yeah. Hoffman, can't forget about old Jeff.
Jeff,
my guy.
Oh, Jeff. That's Nick's number 5 starter, baby.
I believe in Jeff. I believe. I forgot Justin Wilson was still on this team. Like when Charlie Mitch is like, oh, yeah, Justin Wilson's still on the roster.
Yeah, because I saw
I wonder if Michael Joey's Gibbons making everybody wear name tags.
Ask him. Yeah, I saw Michael Givens went to the Cubs. That was who else? Heath Hembree ended up with the Pirates. I guess I texted you guys that 2 weeks too late, but
stupid Cubs are trying.
Ish.
Yeah, ish. And then I guess the big news of yesterday was that Jose Barrero had a wrist injury and is going to be out for about, 5-6 weeks. So obviously that sucks. That clears the road for Kyle Farmer. And, you know, Nick tried to see if it might be Matt McClain hanging out with us for a couple weeks to start the year. Be fun.
Yeah, my guess is I doubt McClain makes it. I wanted to so bad, but my guess is they don't go with a true shortstop backup, and Kyle Farmer just plays every inning like he did for 2 months last year. And then, you know, they maybe give him an off day and, you know, give Alejo Lopez or Solano or, you know, someone, you know, a game and go from there. But I don't know. I don't know if you just look at the depth chart here. There's not a whole lot. I mean, JT Riddle has a lot of MLB experience, but yeah, there's
my wife went to high school with him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a great crop. That's why when it happened, I kind of started thinking about McClain. I was like, oh, you know, hey, maybe they'd throw him up there, you know, with I don't think he would have made the team under normal circumstances, but I could see kind of one of those things where, you know, they kind of go, hey, here's the expectation. You're only up while Barrera's out. We're sending you back down. So it's not like he's coming up, and if he, you know, flops, it's one of these things where he's getting demoted. Like they're telling him he's going to be demoted no matter what. Carlos, do you think something like that could sit better for a player that's young and confidence and all that kind of stuff?
To what? To be in the big leagues quickly?
No. Okay, so, you know, traditionally, like, you don't want to rush a player that's not ready because of killing their confidence, right? Like, that's a normal thought process. Sure. Do you think, like, if McClain is told, like, if they were going to call him up, they're saying, hey, look, you were only up here, like, kind of like an emergency starter, you know, where it's that type of thing where you're, hey, there's no expectations here. Do you think, like, that's a little easier than, you know, getting called up like India where, hey, you're our starting second baseman, let's go?
I wouldn't think so. I think it would be tougher to be just sitting there, you know, kind of how they did Barrero last year. I think that's pretty tough to ask to perform. I mean, pinch hitting is the hardest thing to do, you know, in baseball. And then, I mean, it's kind of almost what you're doing a little bit. If you're only going to play once, twice a week, it's got to be pretty tough. I'm sure he'd rather – that's tough, like, to say what he would rather do, because, I mean, of course, everybody wants to be in the big leagues, but you don't want to be sitting either and, you know, and not progressing daily. So I think it would be better just to start him than rather just say, hey, no, we're only going to bring you up, but we're only going to use you a certain amount of time. I think that would be harder on him.
No, I'm sorry. I must have phrased that really off. I didn't mean like I would think if they called him up, he'd be the backup shortstop, but they'd probably throw him out in left field because he can play all those positions and he can hit left-handed pitching, or at least he should at some point in his career. No, I didn't mean him come up and ride the bench like Barrero did at the end of last year. I just meant more he's kind of coming up, filling a spot, but he's also the backup shortstop, and that's kind of more of his, like, you know, role in the team. So I think Barrero was probably going to play multiple positions. I don't think he was just going to get stuck at shortstop if he made the opening day roster, which I think he was going to. I think he probably would have been playing some in center field or left field or something like that. Maybe even, you know, I mean, I guess they could maybe slide Farmer over to third base, but
yeah, he probably would have been playing left field versus lefties.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Anyway. Want to get a couple more questions before we get out of here?
Yeah, we got plenty. So, by the way, can we just say that we love this every week now? Like, this is awesome. This is so fun for us.
Yeah, keep this energy up when the Reds are, you know, 25-10 early in the year. Or if somehow it's the opposite, I don't know how that would happen, but keep it up. We are Penn State Reds. Thoughts on Amora Jr., Brandon Drury. I never am going to get upset about a minor league signing. All due respect, I hope neither guy plays because I hope we sign Tommy Pham.
You're here.
They're fine. I mean, they're probably decent. Amora's a good defensive player, but...
Like Conforto, he's way out of the picture now, right? Since they've signed so many left-handed bats.
It wouldn't be out of my picture if it was up to me. I mean, he's a great player. I mean, I mean, I think his like wins above replacement projection is like 0.03 below the two outfielders that just departed from the Reds. So he's a good player. But yeah, I mean, I don't see the Reds signing Conforto. I think Pham's maybe
it doesn't make sense, but it makes sense with what they've done this offseason. How about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, if like you were going through a whole thing where you were just trading Winker because you wanted to trade him at his value, and then you turn around and you sign Conforto, I mean, that to me, like that's like I would have no issue with that. That would be a lot easier to swallow than just, you know, trading to save money, right? I mean, like that makes good long term logical sense, and you've got some good prospects back that help fill fill for the future. And if, I don't know, maybe there is something that the Reds are seeing that makes them feel like Winker's a higher injury risk than maybe we think. Yeah, I don't know, but yeah. Here's a good one. Optimistic Reds.
Terry Larkin.
How well does Kyle Farmer need to play for people to be nice to him on Twitter? I don't know.
Terry Larkin too, man.
I don't know. The guy exceeded my wildest expectations last year and still gets a lot of disdain. So I don't know what
he's going to have to be a silver slugger, because making the All-Star team is not going to be good enough, because that's just going to be a good 2.5 months. Like I get that would be the headline the week after he comes back from the All-Star game and goes 0-12.
We are all wearing Kyle Farmer All-Star jerseys on an episode. We'll spend the money. We'll make it happen.
I don't think I can fit into a Kyle Farmer jersey.
I wasn't going to get an authentic one.
I'm joking.
I mean, we might maybe DH gate, you know?
Just to wear it with the buttons unbuttoned. Fat man in a little coat.
Do you still have any of your like minor league jerseys, like your Dayton ones, or?
No, I've got a spring training one, but that's it.
The one that's like in your rookie card?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, my little sister will wear it to school for her like sports day or whatever, jersey day.
That's just a flex. That's a total flex.
She sends a pic, and none of the kids know who it is. They think she like cause she's not Guevara, so. They're like, who the hell? What are you wearing?
Yeah. Hold on. As I was here. So, actually, can I grab this one real quick, Nick? Is that cool? All right. What value do the Reds see in Alejo Lopez? I'm always surprised to see him listed as making the team. I mean, things mostly is like he's a, you know, he doesn't strike out a lot. That's nice.
Well, his value just went up because Barreiro got hurt. That's for sure.
Yeah, I had a lot of people asking me that. I just more stuck him in on the 9 spot when I made that list, just kind of as a filler, just because there's not a whole lot of options against left-handed pitching. I think I personally would rather them, you know, one of these guys, one of these minor league guys, like I'm going to butcher his name, Cirola. I'd rather one of these like legit outfielders that are right-handed start, but I think Lopez has value, you know, as a switch hitter. I mean, I honestly think the DH kind of hurts him. I feel like he had some value as like a pinch hitter, kind of that pinch hitter role. But with the DH being out, you know, I don't know if he really has as much value as he once did. But hey, anyone on the Reds' current roster, you better believe I'm rooting for, you know, any of these guys. Whoever wants to take it and run with it, let's go, baby.
You know, David Bell's going to use every single player on that bench that he can in a 9-inning game. He's going to pinch hit for his left fielder in the 5th inning. Oh, show.
I mean, this roster is a lot more suited to, I think, some of the things David Bell wants to do other than maybe winning at a high level. You know, it definitely is. Like he does have more flexibility than he had before, because he had, I think there was some matchups, and I'm not going to say anything, you know, negative here, but there was some matchups that I don't think he liked, but he kind of felt like he had to do. I feel like he kind of has the players that he can kind of really manipulate and use matchups and things. And that part of it, I'm excited to see. I'm excited to see how David Bell navigates that, because I think he can really kind of show some of that, some of those smarts.
Coaching staff is going to, they're going to earn their money this year. That's for sure.
Yeah. For
deciding
sure.
Who to plug in, to platoon.
If you're still keeping up as we were getting ready, we got the spring training is still going on at least for a couple weeks. So this is what we kind of look at the upcoming schedule. So looks like on Wednesday, the Reds will be on TV. You can check that out. Hopefully Sadak's back by then. I know he just did the Villanova Ohio State game, so hopefully he's back in Arizona for that. They'll be on TV for Wednesday, Sunday, next Tuesday, and next Friday against the Angels. Maybe we'll see our old pals Michael Lorenzen in that game. I don't know. But that's kind of giving you here this scan here if you're watching us. So they've got the rest of this week's coming up. So they had the Cubs today, they got the Dodgers tomorrow, then the Brewers, the Royals, the Giants is the rest of the week. And then they've got the Rockies on Sunday. So they, as Nick mentioned earlier, they get their first taste of potentially seeing Chris Bryant before they play his former team next Monday, right before we go on the air. So I don't know, is that the week we're going ahead of time? What are we doing for that?
I don't know. We'll let you know. I think we might try to do like 8:30, because I think someone's got a fantasy baseball draft that night.
Yeah, I joined my wife's uncle's league, and he's like, we draft on Mondays. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Pabst Blue Monday. Should I bring some PBR next week for the show? Should I have it with me while we record next week? For you, for being here for 2 weeks in a row, I will. Just let me know.
Nick, so here's a personal question.
Oh, wow.
No, it's just about a personal question for me. Like the MLB package on DirecTV, that's the way you get yours, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't.
Are you able to watch that right now?
So actually,
are you watching?
No. So you get screwed if you go that route, because they don't let you activate, because you get MLB TV included with it, but they don't let you activate it until the season starts, which is stupid. It drives me nuts. But I've noticed every game has been free on MLB TV, every Reds game, and on DirecTV in spring training, all the games are always free if you have the package that gets you all the local sports channels. So yeah. I've personally been able to watch it. I don't know if they're doing it free throughout spring training. That seems like a pretty nice, good olive branch that the MLB should probably be throwing out there. So I hope it is free for the rest of spring, but yeah, I have noticed every game so far has been spring and I don't have an active package. So,
Yeah. Cause I couldn't find mine on there today. And then,
yeah, they won't.
Luckily, it was on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
So yeah, I was able to watch that one.
Yeah, they won't let you. They won't let you activate the MLB extra innings until the day the season starts. But everything has been free so far, so keep it up. Well, and there's
that gives you the free MLB app though through DirecTV.
Yeah, but they won't let you authenticate it until the season starts, which is dumb. Like there's games that have happened. Dumb. Yeah, it's been that way. I've had DirecTV for like 5 years, and it's been that way every year. But I usually just kind of, you know, mix and match, find some bootleg streams in the spring. I'm not paying for something that I'm going to, you know, be paying for anyways. But
Well, I'm sorry, what was that word you said there that you use? on wax, you said this. What?
FBI knocking at your door.
Oh. Yeah, arrest me for something I actually pay for. That
pay my kid.
Paid $220 for this stupid thing.
It was the kid in the Spider-Man pajamas. Get him.
Oh, hey.
I mean, not Tim.
Well, before we do get out of here, I want to take a second, since you weren't with us last week, Carlos, to wish you a belated happy birthday.
Thanks,
hopefully,
buddy.
It was everything you wanted it to be and more. Looks like you had a good time.
From what I remember, it was pretty fun. Glad to have a lot of my friends and family there, so it was a good time. Yeah.
Do you feel the big?
Yes.
Okay. I won't say what it is. Don't worry.
Yeah, I do feel 40, man.
Yeah.
When I finished playing, I felt 40. A lot of miles on that old Mexican body of mine.
Well, we're glad you're still with us after all those miles, supporting the Big Red Platoon. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up, this week's edition of Late Night Reds Talk Live. Again, I know we said it already tonight. Thank you guys so much for all your questions. If we had time to get to them all, we definitely would. You guys are just very, very active, and it's awesome. We really appreciate it. PB Monday, I'll definitely bring some PBR for next week's show, whatever time we go, I promise. I will go out and buy it tomorrow before I go work an NIT game. I might need it for an NIT game. But also, take some time, enjoy yourselves, and go to Bet Online and use our promo code and bet on the Reds at plus 3,300 to win the National League. Good vibes only. Have a good one, everyone.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.